You're listening to the Donor Growth Podcast, forward-looking conversations for those who believe that donor growth is possible.
Every week, we'll explore a thought-provoking topic to help build deeper relationships with more of your donors. We are your hosts, Luis Diaz
and Mike Dirksen. Now let's get into it. Luis, you and I got our families together for dinner last week.
Yep.
And our kids were a little bit shy at first. And then they banded together and they started climbing on tables in the restaurant.
Yeah, that's the power of community. It's something we've talked about here a little bit.
You gave your wife the exact same look I gave my wife at the same time, which is like, let's get out of here. Like, we've overstayed our welcome.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. I kind of reacted to the waitress screaming at us.
Yeah, there was that.
Sorry to remind you. But hey, another life lesson from this, okay? You know how we talk about how engagement leads to fundraising and not the other way around? Uh-huh. And how one of the quickest ways to build trust is to actually do something together with your donors. And it doesn't have to be mind-numbingly sophisticated, like let's all get together for regular dinners, or let's do a project together, like organizing a gala. The process of that work together is what builds the trust that then leads to the big gifts. We started, I think, just chatting on LinkedIn, and then you said, let's do a podcast. And we've done almost 50 episodes now. The first ones may have been a little bit awkward, but then look at us now, where our families are having dinner together. Pretty amazing, no?
Yes. And it was great meeting your family. I think my wife had a much better idea of, oh, so this is the guy that you're always talking to and that you're texting to. Because we've escalated our relationship a little bit over the last few months because we're working on a few things together. So we're spending a little bit more time outside of the podcast together as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's leading to business. So, you know, it's totally that example, which as a segue into today's episode, you know, might make you think, wouldn't it be cool if your own kids knew about all this stuff without having to learn it the hard way and turned into wonderful fundraisers when they grow up?
Who don't climb on tables in restaurants.
Well, I mean, for the right type of donor. I don't know if that's required. I've seen similarly awkward situations in donor meetings. But yeah
point taken. That's true. I will say, you know, if we brought kids to major donor meetings, I actually think that would be a good thing a lot of the time.
Yeah, well, think of what COVID did, right? Suddenly you're at home and the kid is running around naked and, you know, all types of stuff.
Right. And then as you realized, our oldest daughter is brutally blunt and we'll just point out things in the other person's physical appearance sometimes, which makes for a very awkward moment, but also breaks the ice really quickly.
Trust building, all in the name of trust building.
Yeah. So would we suggest our kids to go into fundraising, or would we like recommend for them to do that if they're like thinking about, you know, what should I do when I grow up? And if they hit that stage and they're like, you know, dad, what about fundraising? Like, you did that for a bunch of your life. Do you think that would be a good idea? So would we recommend that our kids go into fundraising?
Yeah. And more generically, folks who are listening, who joined this podcast, would they do it too? I'd be really interested to hear that. It's not a profession that people typically, I don't know, even talk about a whole lot. So I don't know if this happens, if this is frequent, where you have fundraisers who then have children who go into fundraising, which I guess is kind of an endorsement of, hey, this is a career that I see future in that you should do, right? I've heard a lot about accountants that then have kids that turn into accountants, real estate agents, or, you know, people who own real estate agencies sometimes who their kids take that on. I don't know about fundraising. So would we? Do you have any thoughts, or do you want me to dive right in?
I mean, first of all, there is a difference here between accountants and business owners and real estate. Those people all make money.
Oops, small difference. Yeah, got me.
Or is that a misconception? Can you make money as a fundraiser too?
Yeah, well, I guess part of it is if you are making money, the social understanding, the social contract is that you're not going to talk a lot about it, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So there are chief fundraisers who are making 100K in large organizations, 200, 300, you know, I don't know, 200, 250K plus, let's say, right?
There are fundraisers for making hundreds of thousands. Yeah.
Yeah. That we very generically, and people might start shooting this down, right? But there are people that are making a salary that's way above average.
Yep.
Whether it should be more or less, you know, that's a different topic. But it's not socially very well seen, right? To talk about it, it's not going to be in Forbes magazine, you know, top paid fundraisers of the year with their glamour shots.
We did the business idea podcast last week. I think it was. This is one that will go into a future business idea podcast, which is the Forbes list for fundraisers.
Okay, the rich list for fundraisers.
Yeah, along with the most eligible fundraiser,
the fundraiserette. But I'm trying to make a joke. Very bad. Don't try this again, Lewis. Yes. So I'm going to share a couple of thoughts, Mike, and then have you bounce off of them, okay? There's data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and I think that's compelling as to the growth of the profession. So it says that in the next 10 years, 2021 to 2031, the number of fundraisers is going to grow by 11%. It also says that the median pay for fundraisers is, let me look this up, $60,660 per year, which is not bad. So I think those two are promising. Would you agree? Like if, you know, the average, if you come up to the average person and say, hey, I'm going to tell you about this profession. I'm going to keep the name of the profession a secret, but it has these characteristics. You know, would you like to hear more? I think they'd say yes.
Yeah, that's, you know what? That's a good point. If you went up to a person and you said, listen, this is a job that you may want to consider, because here's the thing, this industry, this sector you're going into, there's about 1.5 million of them in the US alone, of these kinds of organizations. They actually make up close to 6% of the economy. It employs about 10% of the US workforce. And actually, the demand for this one specific type of job, like the job outlook, is that it'll grow by 11%, which is much, much faster than average. This is a very promising, sounds like a very promising career to go into. Would you like to know more?
Clickbait.
What's that?
Clickbait.
Yeah. So if you frame it that way, it's like, yeah, I definitely want to know more. All right, it's being a fundraiser. And as I say that, like I can hear sort of the tires, like the air deflate out of the tires a little bit.
The person's, you know, skip back. If they're on your side of the street, maybe switching over to the other side of the street.
Yeah, they immediately...
I don't want to get involved. I don't want, you know, this sounds like a scam. Leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. They immediately think of like maybe somebody who's like going door to door and who's kind of aggressive, or who like accosts you on the street asking for money. You know, that's probably where their mind goes to, right? They don't think of awkward meetings with wealthy people in restaurants where you have to wear a bow tie.
And where your kids are running around rampant. Totally. Another fact from this Bureau of Labor Statistics, it's on a website, so folks can look it up, is that it gives you a number for how many fundraisers it thinks there are in the US. Mm-hmm. And that's 105,800 fundraisers. That doesn't seem like a lot to me. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I was looking at that number and it does not seem like a lot.
So, you know, some other data points, the Association for Higher Education Advancements, which is, you know, kind of loosely held fundraising, communications, alumni engagement, right? That right. says on its website that it has 90,000 members. You know, maybe it's based on the definition of who a fundraiser is. So who would you consider a fundraiser in your shop? Is it only the frontline people? But what about everybody else who work in fundraising? You know, I had questions about that. Maybe as this podcast grows and grows, we've surpassed 4,000 folks subscribing to us on the LinkedIn newsletter version of the podcast. Maybe we get somebody from this office to come and explain a little bit one day.
Yeah, I think the 105,000 numbers must be, that must be the way they count that, or the way they identify who a fundraiser is must not be quite accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so that's like if you're donor relations, you know, would they yeah. have counted that, you know? So
yeah,
questions.
And if you work in the revenue operations team somehow, right? Your database administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Or even in a lot of shops, communications and marketing is very involved in fundraising too, right? Sometimes that's a split responsibility actually. So
So interesting there. So we think our informed guess is that number is an understatement. So if we were thinking about our kids joining the fundraising profession, it wouldn't need to be as a frontline fundraiser, right? We talk a lot about here on this podcast about how there are different roles that are immensely important. And maybe Mike and I have a bias toward operations roles.
Yeah. So that's the growth. It seems like on paper, this is a profession that is growing fast. There's a real need for it. And the median pay is $60,000. There are certainly professions that where the median pay is less than that. And there's a lot of professions where it's above that. But somebody coming out of college, out of university, or somebody starting their first job, if you tell them the median pay is $60,000, that's going to seem like a pretty good deal to them.
Yes.
So that's one thing to consider. Would we suggest that this is a good job to pursue? Can we look at some of the maybe like the larger trends in the world to see what would warrant that kind of growth year over year?
Yeah, I have a theory about this, Mike, which is I can't see the future. So I don't know what will happen to nonprofits in general. We've talked about lots of these trends, the declining trust, things that are happening in our society, turmoil, et cetera. And that impacts all types of nonprofits, government entities, universities, hospitals, research centers, food banks. It really does impact all of us. So in that piece, you know, I see trends that are somewhat worrisome.
Yeah.
If we're talking about fundraising specifically, I see that the skill set of a fundraiser, whether it's applied at a nonprofit or elsewhere, does seem to have demand that's growing tremendously. So an example, we have a colleague that recently posted about Mr. Beast. And how that was kind of like a para charity, right? Mm-hmm. He's actually running a grant giving organization, but he may not know it, right? So the skill set for fundraising could be super valuable as part of his team, and content creation and communities are springing up like crazy all over the world. And I could see a role for them there. I see companies that are building communities themselves. Sephora has a community with hundreds of thousands of people. We both heard this from Mark Schaefer recently. The fundraising skill set could be helpful there too. So I see a distinction there between how the nonprofit sector is doing and fundraising itself as a set of skills that could be very transferable.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. Is this too out there?
No, I see it in much the same way. So we've talked about the decline of trust, so we'll just leave that there. We won't go any further into that. But there's a few other things. One is, seems like this political turmoil and this divided sense of a bit of a rift in society post-pandemic, maybe. Mm-hmm. It seems like that isn't necessarily healing or going away. And that's had an impact on even fundraising as well, where like there is activist fundraising, there's political fundraising. Both of those things seem to be on the upswing, which is a fundraising that is very much centered around a bit more tribalism. I think we've talked about rage giving a little bit in this podcast before. That's a trend. I think largely speaking, my guess is governments will fund a little bit less than they did before. So some solutions are popping up in the form of nonprofits more and more. Like people just saying, you know what, government isn't doing enough here. I'm going to do something about it. We're going to form a coalition. We're going to start a nonprofit. So the number of new nonprofits formed every year is just like,
that's interesting.
There's a lot of new nonprofits created every year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that demand will be there for people who know how to find resources. And The thing that is worrying me a little bit is that the middle class just might get squeezed more and more, especially with AI and ChatGPT and all of this, like these advances. It might create a little bit more of a wealth gap rather than help solve some of it.
And well, that's what we've seen with the internet, no?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be the great equalizer of opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah.
But it turns out that power law effects were just so huge that they created more inequality.
Right. And so what I for sure think has a really, really good future is raising money from high net worth individuals. I think I think that has a very good future. And I think that would that also pays very well. That is a skill set that is generally in life super helpful for a lot of things, because it means that you're good at networking. And that doesn't have to be a dirty word. I don't mean like giving a lot of people your business card, right? It just means like creating a network, like being very helpful to other people around you. That's just a good skill to have in life. It means that you are good at listening to people. It means you're good at having persuasive conversations that are meaningful to people. It means that you are courageous and bold enough to ask and to do it in such a way that the other person actually feels honored and not bothered.
Mm-hmm.
Those skills are applicable everywhere in life.
That's so funny. So we actually have very different opinions here, where I think in a world where there's more divisiveness and there are more rifts and more tribalism, those who have the ability to bring people together for nonprofits or for profits will be rewarded. You know, I hope. Maybe that's just that there's a little bit of personal opinion there. Right? I think that's a pretty rare skill set. It seems to be becoming more rare, and you kind of need it, right? If you're selling anything at a mass level. So anyhow, it's a complicated topic. What other trends do you see, Mike, in the world or in the economy, or just in the way that fundraising is going to evolve?
By the way, I don't think we disagree on that point. Maybe I'm not quite clear how we would disagree there, but I'm with you that people who bring people together will be in demand.
No, come on. Let's fight a little bit. That's great for engagement. I've read somewhere.
All right.
I'm joking.
How do you think that we disagree?
No. Come on. No. I'm really bad at this. No. Sorry. We're wired for collaboration. Everybody who's listening to this, they're going to be severely disappointed. Apologies.
Put the community building hat aside, Lewis. This is...
I was just very superficially commenting on the major gift versus the what some people call annual fund, but I truly think is just an expression of community building. No,
yeah, sure, gotcha. Yeah,
there I said it. But trends, what's fundraising? Where's fundraising evolving? So we're talking about the future of fundraising as a career. If you're a fundraiser right now, what types of skills do you think people should be developing so that they don't get left out? You mentioned that you predict sustained, strong demand for skills that support fundraising from high net worth individuals. And I guess that's both the frontline as well as the prospect researchers, maybe even some type of content generation like direct response and, web and digital that's very targeted to high net worth individuals.
But to be clear, the skills that you need to raise funds from high net worth individuals are going to serve you very well in the annual fund, if you want to call it that as well.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And because it's like a sales conversation at scale, no? Essentially.
In fact, I would almost want to tell my kids, if you don't know what to do in life, like that's okay, you'll figure it out. But in the meantime, go get a sales job. Just try that for a year and see, right? Because you're going to have to get very good at listening to people, at having people skills, at having some like EQ sort of skills, right? Like emotional intelligence. You're going to have to get good at asking people and then intently listening for what other people want to achieve and how you can help them get there. I think that's just such a good skill to have in life in general. And unfortunately, it's been derided as partly because of sleazy sales people doing this. But it's often seen as a profession that's just trying to like shove something down your throat, right? When the best sales people do the opposite. They genuinely want to serve you and they will let you know if their product or service isn't the right fit for you.
Yeah. and they'll discover new opportunities for you. And if it involves their product, I've had some great experiences there. Okay, so that's kind of promising, and it doesn't seem like AI is going to take that over yet.
Here's why I think it's a good idea, and because the other trend is AI, and at this point, AI is still, I mean, the last few weeks have felt like decades, right? Like the leap that OpenAI took with ChatGPT. But I could be wrong. I could be very wrong about this. I think cold outreach, like direct response cold outreach, so like cold emails, including the ones that fundraisers send to major donors to try to get a meeting, I think they're all about to get really good. And even if not really good, I think the quantity is about to be amped up by 100.
Just the level, it's like we have a new floor, just the quantity of stuff that's not so bad that you wouldn't want to send it to a donor. I mean, let's say that, right? You know, it doesn't have to be amazing, but it's not too bad either.
Yeah. And so I can see a world where in a year or two, most of us don't read most emails.
Yeah. So
even from organizations we would have opened up before, we might just, it's just overload. So we might just only open emails from friends, family, certain colleagues.
Oh my goodness. So then everybody's going to be sending mail, Mike Dirksen. Doesn't that make you happy?
That might happen, sure. But also, even in the community annual individual giving fund, even on that level, like the human thing might become more important. The real thing might become more important.
Oh yeah, totally. And so, what we've been talking about, Zoom events, organizing. Yeah.
Yeah,
all of that. And major gifts should happen through that. Okay. So what does this mean for fundraising as a career? Of course, the world is ever evolving and it's almost impossible to make a prediction, especially in the realm of AI, right? Where things are changing so incredibly quickly. But, you know, you're saying some of these people to people skills, even quote unquote at scale. So like even over a Zoom with lots of people in a room, are going to be very important. Is that it?
Yeah, I think the people stuff is going to be more important. And check this out, it ties into our previous donor growth episode about relationship players versus technical players. So if this is, hey, would we tell our kids to go into fundraising? My answer would be maybe. But first and foremost, I would tell you to get really good with people.
Don't become a database administrator, please.
And even if you do, be really good with people.
It's
going to make your job internally. It's going to make you, even if AI could replace you, if you're really good with people, there'll be another seat on the bus for you, or you will get to lead that project. So if you're good with people.
People, deep understanding of people's needs internally or externally.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe the skill that's writing SQL queries may not be so valuable in the future. But the skill that's understanding the fundraising question and knowing how to ask those questions, which we still do a pretty bad job at, you know, that is really important.
Yeah. So remember when the digital camera came out and even the iPhone, people said, oh, this is going to put photographers out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the amazing pictures the iPhone can take. Look at the amazing pictures these digital cameras can take. And then consumer DSLRs came out. It hasn't put photographers out of business. It has probably weeded out some of the more novice or amateur or more like maybe wannabe people.
Well,
but they just got really good, right? Like the ones that really wanted it. And experts still demand a premium. And you still hire a photographer because of what that person brings to the table.
That makes sense. But the world... This is like the conversation about paintings that you see in a hotel versus paintings that you see in the museum. Most of the world is those paintings that you see in hotels. So that type of photography, the photographer that you had to walk into to get a passport photo, you know, a lot of that has gone away.
Yeah, but let's say that you are the painter. I don't know where this analogy is going. Let's say you're the painter that's really good with people.
Maybe Mid Journey
won't necessarily take your job. You'll still be able to find work. Yeah.
Yeah, that truly deeply understands what people want and can produce that.
Yeah. So
interesting.
I guess that's my advice to my kids would be like, man, just get good with people. And maybe the best way to do that is to just go into fundraising. Maybe the best way to do that is to go into sales. Maybe the best way to do that is to just live life a little bit and then figure out what you want to do. And if it's fundraising, fantastic. I will be happy for you. And I will also laugh with you because fundraising is ridiculous a lot of the time. But how about you, Lewis? You've got two bright children. Would you tell them to go into fundraising?
That's so interesting. I think it's a great place to learn skills. It's a great environment full of good people to learn some of these skills that we've been talking about. And it can, so it can be a good career, definitely. It can also be a great learning experience. And to say, okay, well, you know, it's not for me, but I did learn, hopefully, a lot about these things that we're talking about. How to be good with people, how to ask the right questions, how to look at other people's problems deeply, you know, not in a superficial way. And I don't see that going away from fundraising anytime soon. And I think that those skills, along with, you know, some understanding of technology. So when we're saying AI, you're still going to need how to understand how to use the AI, right? But maybe it's at a level that now you need a professional to do some things. And in the future, you can be more of an amateur and still get stuff done. So I think all of those skills would be super valuable. I don't know if I'm a science fiction nerd, but in Dune, they talk about how even when they actually remodel the desert planet and their areas that are like a luscious paradise now, they still have the young ones grow up in the desert or something. I think it's an opportunity. It's an experience that many more young people should have. So I'm totally biased here.
Right. Okay. Well, I disagree with you.
There we go. We're gonna play this out on Twitter and on TikTok, platforms where I've never been.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to end it on. The answer is it depends, as always. But one thing that I think both you and I agree on is as AI advances, as trust declines in society, as people and seem to be more divided, and that division doesn't seem to be healing anytime soon. Anybody who's able to bring people together, to organize people, to understand people, deeply understand their needs, is probably going to have some sort of job security and some sort of fulfilling job security, I should say.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Well, this was kind of a deep episode. I know it sounds like we didn't have so much fun, but we felt it was something really important to look at and something that people don't really talk about. Again, fundraising seems like a dirty word, and that profession where people will, you know, switch over to the other side of the street when they learn that you're doing that. We don't think so generally. And we think there's these important trends that fundraisers, current and future, should be aware of. Mike, shall we call it a day?
Yeah, we're out.
Thank you for listening to the Donor Growth Podcast, brought to you by the Donor Participation Project and BuildGood.com.
If you found today's episode helpful, please help us by sharing it with a friend, posting about it on LinkedIn, or giving it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, remember that donor growth is possible.